joining us this morning on the chat box. This Saturday, which is the very first show, is Pony Abraham. Pony's an entrepreneur. She's a social media influencer. She's also a blogger, a vlogger, actually. She has a vlog on her social media platforms called Victoria's Chat Room. And she'll be telling us about her status. Pony, good morning and welcome to Miraya.
Good morning, Lucy. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for coming. You know, first of all, we want to know your status. Are you married? Are you dating?
Yes, I'm actually married with two beautiful babies.
Okay. Yeah. And how long have you been married?
I've been married 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
5 years. Okay, that let that sink in. You don't look like a 5-year-old married woman.
I guess I married young.
Okay.
I married really young at 19 or 20 probably.
And how's that going for you?
Let's say just trying to cope up with everything and learning in the process and growing as well.
So 5 years, you're still learning.
Definitely, you never stop learning.
I'm telling you, you never stop learning. Did you hear that? So today we want to focus on, next time maybe we'll talk about the learning part, but today we want to focus on how couples should handle money. And since you're married, you also dated before you got married, right?
Yes.
So then you'll be able to speak from both perspectives on how you handled money then and how you're handling money now as a married woman. So my first question would be, how is money important in a relationship? Aside from, you know, the fact that you need to eat or hajat kida, why is money important?
Like you said, money is a part of life. Today we can't survive without money, and we don't stop living when we're in a relationship. So definitely we need the money. It's if you ever plan to settle down, you need money to settle. If you're calculating bills in the future, you need money to do those bills. If you have future dreams, you have ambitions, everything is about money. Like, money can't just be taken out of the equation. It's quite tough.
So the money has to be there. There are people who say, I'm in love with him, or she's in love with me, or I'm in love with her. The money is not the problem. I mean, even if we don't have money, you know, the love will thrive. Does this make sense to you? Given your experience.
Well, I think personally I had a belief that I wouldn't marry a man for his money, but again, I would not marry a man who cannot make money. That is the truth.
That's a very good quote there. I hope you wrote that down. Go ahead.
So I do not want your money, but you should be able to have money, because we, like, the marriage, the relationship will need the money to thrive. So that is it. Just, it's not for the money, but we need the money.
Okay. So don't marry a man for his money. This is coming in from the lady's perspective. But marry a man who can make money.
Yes.
All right. And so how has handling, let's start with your dating. How long did you date your current husband?
We dated for about a year and 6 months.
A year and 6 months.
Yeah.
There are people who are still dating for like 10 years plus.
Well, anyway, you know, some people believe that there is a point to which you will know a person. But even after 15 years, there are people who would break up with you and marry a person of 6 months or even 2 months. So, I mean, literally, you never get to a point that you believe, now I know this
person.
Now
you know the person.
That point is not there.
So how was the money situation while you were dating?
Okay, you know, in relationships, money is quite very easy. It's the biggest mistake we make it here that makes money issue easy is the fact that we don't talk about it in relationships. So you just put it aside. Like, every lady is afraid that the moment I speak about money, I am going to be labeled a gold digger. Or I'm going to push this man away. So literally, people just sideline that topic and makes everything easy. You just don't talk about the money in relationships here, and that is the biggest mistake we make, because in the relationship it's just you and your boyfriend, right? You stay alone in your parents' house, he stays alone. So he doesn't take care of your bills, you don't take care of his bills. There is nothing you do that is joint, apart from going out on a date and send me airtime and upkeep. Like, there is nothing that...
So who is sending who airtime and who is sending who upkeep?
It depends. Usually, here in this context, it's... In most cases, it's the man, although sometimes there are ladies who are earning when the guy is down and they also give the that. Upkeep. So literally, I would say it's the one who makes more money
okay.
that supports the other.
So it doesn't matter whether it's the lady or the guy. The one who makes more money should support the other.
It's not a should, mm-hmm. but it's what is happening right now. And you know, they say love makes you blind. Like, when you're still in that dating phase, nothing matters. Nothing makes sense. I've heard of stories of kids who steal money from their parents just to support the partner. It uh-huh, has happened. So uh-huh. you go to the extent of committing a crime to just support the other person because you love the person and the person needs money and you just give. There is no reasoning.
Okay.
That is the problem. Until you reach that point of marriage and poof, problems begin.
Okay. Let's first leave the marriage, but let's still talk about dating. So earlier on you talked about dates, like when you go out for either a Rolex fee, mm-hmm. so custom, or you go to Aithora to eat some goat meat. Who should handle the bills?
I think it's a two-way thing. Mm-hmm. The one who initiates the date should handle the bills. That is me.
The one who initiates the date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not going to be every single time that your guy should be the one asking you out. And it shouldn't be every time that the lady asks you out. Once in a while, I think, like, you get to that moment that you feel like, okay, today I really want to see this person and I want us to go out. So ask this person out, pay the bills, and let this person also ask you out and pay the bills. So the one who initiates the date should pay the bills. It doesn't make sense for me to ask you out and I expect you to pay the bills.
Okay, just hold that thought for a moment. If you've just tuned in, this is the Chat Box. It will be happening every single Saturday where we talk about issues that affect our daily living. And today it's relationships and money. And we're talking about romantic relationships, intimate relationships, where you're dating someone with prospects of either marrying them or you're trying to see whether they are the potential future partner for life and all that. So, yeah, so if you have a question or if you have a comment on what Victoria is saying, you can go ahead and send a text message on 0912-177-141 and we'll be able to air out your views. Later on, I'll be opening my lines for you to call in. So, let's get back to the discussion. Yes, we've talked about money is important in relationships. When you get into a relationship, make sure your partner, you're not getting into the relationship for their money, but they should be able to at least make some money that can sustain, you know, the living for both of you. And we're still on dating. Let me ask my last question on dating. Now, there have been instances where it gets to the extreme where maybe one side needs almost like school fees to be paid or they cannot pay their rent. The money is usually a lot. What do you do in that instance? Do you loan them or do you give them the money?
Okay, one thing that I should tell couples dating is that as long as it's not official, first of all, this person is not legally obligated to take care of your mm-hmm. bills. And neither are you, who wants to take care of the other person's bills, obligated to do so. So as a result, the moment you choose to pay somebody's tuition or you choose to pay somebody's rent, this is not a loan, unless if the two of you agreed on a loaning basis.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment you say, I'm doing this for the love, it's like a gift to someone.
So when it comes to people who say, but you see, I paid your school fees, you need to pay me back. And most times, I was raised in a way of, you know, keep yourself pure
mm-hmm.
and don't just give sex to anyone. And so you find, especially from the men's side, you know, I'm handling your bills. You need to pay me back now. I need to have that sex. So does that make sense? Does he have a right now to ask for it?
That's,
if she mm-hmm. was not comfortable before, or if he was not comfortable before?
That is an emotional blackmail
mm-hmm.
because you have a choice of saying no to my tuition. You have a choice to say no. I ask you to help me out in a situation of need. And you're not obligated to help me at this point. So you have a choice to say no. But you chose to help me because you want to help me. We didn't discuss as a transaction that you pay my bills and I give you my body. That was not a transaction agreement. So if you choose to help me out, just know that you're helping me out. And this goes, I've seen these cases where men appear up in women's weddings, marriages, because I paid this person's tuition and poof, she's marrying someone else. So I need my bills. Like, and the parents don't know you, the family don't, nobody knows you. Like, who are you? Where are you coming from? We do not know you. So you are not legally obligated to take care of this person's bills. And there's no reason to keep any track record because there was no any agreement to do this. So
earlier on you said official. So clarify official so that we know, we draw lines now before we move into marriage. What do you mean by making it official?
Making it official probably would call it like an engagement, to a point that the families are aware. This is like that is usually when you date, in most cases people date in secrecy, but if you reach to a point that you are engaged at the family level,
you know that this is the person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Yes, and the person's parents know that this is our supposed in-law, or if all goes well, this is the person who is going to be our daughter-in-law or our son-in-law. Like, the families are engaged. Even if they are not yet married, but they're engaged. At this point, you can walk to the family, and if there are any misunderstandings, you can seek help and say, your son is doing this or your daughter is doing this.
As the process to get married or to tie the knot continues.
Yeah, and somebody should be able to help you. But if you do it behind the scenes, like, we don't know you.
Okay, that's very clear. And let's move on to marriage now. So when you're dating, there are no obligations. You should be able to share on the bills. You should be able to, if you initiate something, pay for it. Mm-hmm. Because it was your idea in the first place. Now, when it comes to marriage, what changes?
In marriage, quite a lot changes, particularly for our context here, because the ideal family, and when you're dating, what you expect is you marry, you settle with your husband, and you make your children. It's easy. Like, that is what you picture. But in the context of South Sudan, after dating, in over 90% of our families, there is an excess responsibility that you are not mentally prepared for. Mm-hmm. You'll find siblings, you'll find in-laws, you'll find cousins, you find like the responsibility automatically. You have children even before you have your own children. Mm-hmm. Uncle's children are coming, your brother's children are coming in, and before you know it, you're in a family of 20 people. Like, you're just newly married, and these are all your responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, and this is where you begin to click, I wish we talked about the money
before.
Yeah, so like, you see, because it is now present. And believe me, money issues is the second leading issue for separations in this country after infidelity, because we are bombarded by a responsibility that we were never mentally prepared for. Like, you didn't see this coming. Mm-hmm. And this is where you have landed yourself.
So when you're getting married, yani, you planned for Bes Ita or Rajil Taki and your children, and that was it. And then now you have a whole extended family to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how should this be addressed? Like you said, we need to have talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
So at what stage should you talk about this before you get married?
I think when you know that you're heading for marriage, or assuming when this, usually the guy, when he proposes to you and brings up the topic of marriage, because there is that stage where the topic of marriage begins to come up in your relationship constantly. In most cases here, people don't technically do the ring engagement thing, but it's a verbal kind of engagement before they reach to your family.
Mm-hmm.
So when you reach that point, it is very important, especially for the ladies here, to ask about the money. Eh? First of all, what kind of a family are we going to have? This is very important. Is it going to be just us, or are we going to have an extended responsibility? This is one thing you should get clear so that you're mentally prepared. If we are going to have an extended responsibility, who is going to handle this and how are we going to handle this? And this is easier when both couples are earning, making a living, which is one thing I encourage, especially ladies. Do not sit there and assume that my guy is working for us. Mm-hmm. You have to make your money. So at this point, you need to understand, you need to be mentally prepared that we are going to have a responsibility or it's just going to be the two of us. And if you are going to have a responsibility, then you need to understand as the marriage thing comes up that we are going to handle this like this. Because if you're not comfortable, it's a time to pull off. Okay. At this stage, the because trust me, money issues is big.
So it's okay to pull out from an engagement to get married once you realize money is going to be an issue with your partner?
Definitely, if it's important to you, because I do not know what people's priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, there is a point that you will reach and say, I wish I had known.
What would be the red flags? Maybe you can list some of the red flags in terms of money with the other partner. What are some of the signs that can show you that either what are some of the signs you can look out for?
Number one, signs of the red flags in money is look at the person's spending habits.
Mm-hmm.
Is this person developmental? Is this person pro-growth? Or it's about spending every single penny he gets?
Okay.
Or she gets. There are people who, when they have money, the only thing, ladies, makeup, iPhone 12, these are the talks, eh? I want to go for this holiday. But you never hear anything about an investment from them. You never hear anything about, like, know that your money is going to be at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And equally, the guys, the more money, the more women, the more alcohol, the more clubs they go to. So these are red flags. Know that you're likely going to handle a responsibility beyond you.
I'm going to touch on something that will be one of our topics in the future, Stingy Men Association. Is that a red flag? I mean, not the association, but like a man or a woman being
definitely
stingy.
Definitely a red flag, 100% a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Stingy, there is a difference between being responsible spending and stingy, although our men try to cover stinginess in responsible spending, and mm-hmm. that is a different thing altogether. To be responsible is to spend on the people that you should spend on and on the things that you should spend on.
Mm-hmm.
But being stingy altogether is hiding your money and everything from even the people who matter. So that is definitely a red flag.
Okay.
Do not get close to those people.
So before I ask you the questions that are coming in and we open our lines for the questions to come in as well, what is the ideal way to handle money in marriage? So that you mm-hmm. don't start thinking, oh, I wish.
So I think there are two things to consider in handling money. It's let me first start from the context we are in. In most cases, there is an extended responsibility. So number one, there are two things. One, who is earning more in the house? Consider mm-hmm. this. And who has more responsibility? And I mean relations, because assuming if I come to my husband's house with my sisters, I mean, that is my responsibility. It's not my husband's responsibility. He didn't marry us. He didn't bargain for this. So that is my extended responsibility. And I should be able to make sure that I spend more on my family than he should spend on them. And if I find my husband's relatives, that is his responsibility. So let us put this clear, because in the end of the day, somebody will end up taking up a responsibility that is not theirs in the first place.
So before we go outside, let's mm-hmm. first tackle the inside. Husband and wife, how do you handle your money, even before the kids come in?
Okay, number one, some people believe in having joint accounts if it's comfortable. But on my own thoughts, I would say it's important to have your personal accounts, but create a joint account for responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And based on how much you two are earning each, agree together on who takes care of what mm-hmm. in the house. You mm-hmm. can agree on this. Like, let's say there is tuition that's coming later, there is rent, there is food, there is medical bills. Who takes care of what? Agree on this together.
On which where the money comes from.
Yeah, mm-hmm. based on the money, who earns what? Agree on this together. It can never be 50-50%.
Because it's not equal earnings.
Yeah, it's never equal earnings. So
that's
it can
true.
Never be 50-50%. But mm-hmm. based on how much each is is earning agree on those. And then also it's important to have the joint account. Let's say we agree that based on what I'm earning every month, I get $500 and every month you get $600 or $700, and then we put in that joint account every month. Mm-hmm. And that is the money from which we handle our joint bills.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's important for every partner, believe me this, it's important to have your own personal money.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Do not put everything on the table.
The joint account.
And say, here it is. No. Everyone deserves to have their own money privacy.
This private money, do you communicate it to your husband?
Yes.
Should they know how much it is? Or your wife?
It's not knowing how much it is, but it's knowing your money sources. Assuming, like, my husband knows every figure of my contract. Every mm-hmm. time I get a new contract, I discuss it with him first. Mm-hmm. He literally knows how much I am earning.
So then you agree how much will go into the
yes.
joint expenditure.
How much goes
how
into
much
the family.
Yeah,
and
you.
How much stays for me.
For your personal
yeah,
use.
For my personal use. If I want to have other things, this is one. And secondly, on developmental aspect, like assets, starting a business, what agree on this together. It's very important to have a business or to have a company or anything as partners, because working together is also a way of cementing your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
This issue of Flan is starting their own business and Flan is running this and Flan is running this, you're creating a bigger space between yourselves and you're making separation easier. The moment,
so you're digging the gap.
Yeah, like
the trench.
It's easy for me to go, like, everything of mine is in my name. I can easily go when I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have a joint company, we have a joint investment, do you
it
think
it keeps you
yeah,
together?
Yeah, it keeps, like, there's certain, because it's not just the love that keeps you together. There are a lot of things that are going to keep you together, and you know what you're going to lose out without the other person.
There's so many things that you're saying that we will talk about next time.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not the love that keeps you together. That's a whole conversation on its own. But thank you so much for mentioning all that. Let's now get some questions here from our listeners. We have Philip Mayong. He's asking an interesting question, but if you can answer it. He's saying, where there's no condition to you and your husband, but your husband needs to marry another wife, would you agree for him to marry again?
Where there's no condition, I've not understood that clearly.
Okay. Philip Mayong, please rephrase your question and send it back. Tap Mark Dew in Bentiu says, my question is, money is good to make real relationships when you have enough money. But why is it that when you run out of financial stability or you run out of money, some ladies divorce their husbands? Why do you think that is?
Well, it takes us to the point which I say that do not marry a man for his money, but marry a man who can make money. So if you run out of money, but I know that you're a hardworking person and you can make money, I'm not leaving you, because you made money before and you're going to make money again. You have the ability, you have the skills, and when we are married, we work together to make that money.
Mm-hmm.
But if I married you for your money, which you made, and the money is now not there, there's no reason for me to be there anymore.
So men should also watch out what kind of women they marry.
Yes.
Are they interested in the money or in their development?
So, unfortunately, we also have the women who want the ready-baked money and ready-baked. I can marry a man who is a fresh graduate without a job as long as I know that he has the ability to make money.
Okay.
And I know that we will make money, so.
Well, I hope you've understood that, Tap Mark. Dark William Duo from Bentiu says, money is very important in relationship, but there's a situation where couples invest money back to their parents without consulting the other couple, the other part of the... So, like, say, one part of the couple does not consult the other. So the wife does not consult or the husband does not consult. How are you supposed to solve such an issue?
So this is this comes to the initial setup of your family. If you have the extended family and how you agree, like I said before, some couples want everything in a joint account, in a joint pool. But some couples, like how I want it, is that agree on what goes in a joint account and what goes personal. So if I am spending money from our joint account to support my parents and an extended responsibility without consulting with my partner, then definitely it's a bad habit. It's a wrong habit, and it's something that should be avoided. You have to talk before you handle this. But if I'm spending my personal money to support my family, I don't need my partner's permission, but it's important to inform.
Communicate.
Yeah, to communicate that, by the way, mom called, she's not well, and I'm going to be sending her some money. It's
okay.
Very normal.
All right. All right. There you go. I mean, like, family is family. I mean, you have to support family. I think it's already a mutual agreement that you will support the family, but make a clear communication. Okay. So, Godluck McQuay from Okobo is saying, how can you advise a cheating relationship whose intentions is to live as part-time partners with no plan for marriage?
Not every relationship leads to marriage, and not every successful relationship ends in marriage. It's all about the goals. Some people just want to spend time together, and they subconsciously know that they are not good for marriage, but they are spending time together. Yeah, honestly,
it's okay. So would you call these people time wasters if it's an imbalanced equation where one person wants to get, but this is now a different conversation, but just go ahead.
Yeah.
One person wants to get married and the other doesn't.
So the moment you notice these traits, definitely you pull out. That's what happens, because you're not going to stick around to somebody who doesn't want to get married.
Okay. All right. Let's hear from the callers. Go ahead and call in 0912062950, 0921902950, or 0912062079, or 0921902079. I'm just going to pick two callers. Radio Mirai, hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is me, Isaac.
Yes, Isaac. What's your question?
I have some couple of questions to my guest.
Two questions maximum. No more than that.
Okay. My question is, what are your advices to those who do just love themselves and try to marry themselves because of the interest of money?
Okay.
Not the love that based on humanity.
Okay, next question.
Other question is, how should couples should be living to each other so that they should have to see a long life and even grown old together than just despise in marriage within a short period of time?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Go ahead and just answer. What is your advice? Let's start with the last one. How can couples manage to live
longer?
A very long life. I don't know if there's an answer to that, but
I think what he's trying to say is that he's trying to ask how to sustain a marriage longer other than getting divorced. For me, as a Christian, I always believe that we fall apart the moment we start by defying God's commands in marriage. And believe me or not, one of the biggest reasons we face that brings a short break in a marriage in most cases is external influence. The Bible says, leave your family, go settle with your wife, start your own family. This is the number one rule of marriage. But we start by engaging an entire community into the marriage, giving everybody shares in our marriage and living in a clan. So, and this is so common here. Trust me, if you look here, most couples that start their family alone and live alone, yeah, people talk about them, but they are very happy. They stay for long compared to those that have shareholders. In most,
could you just explain what is it exactly you mean by including all these people? Because this is still your family. I mean, you can't totally extremely leave them. You need to still be part of the family. So, where do you draw the line?
We draw the line number one, by the way, it's very important to live away from people. It's important to set up your own family. Now, you can help
so
your
don't
relatives.
Bring your wife into the compound you were living in.
Yes.
Okay.
Before
next.
You marry, have your own home.
Mm-hmm.
You can help your parents from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
You can come visit them. You can check on them, they can come visit you, but create that boundary. And then the next thing is, do not take advice on how to run your family from people sharing their own experience on how they run their family. Your brothers or sisters or cousins or parents will tell you, I used to treat my wife like this. This is how things used to be. This is how it should be.
It's a different situation.
Yeah, it's a
from
different
yours.
Situation. It's a different story altogether. And it's a different family altogether. So do not allow people to tell you how to run your affairs. And then most importantly, gossiping. Brother, while you were away, your wife did this. Sister, while you were out, your husband did this. You see this kind of situations, and even your friends tell you, you know what, your wife is like this, you know what, your husband is like this. So these are some of the biggest things that speed, they accelerate the breakup.
Okay.
Extremely. That is giving people shareholders in your marriage.
All right. We'll have another day to discuss more on that. Advice to those who marry in the interest of money.
It's all about believe me, in South Sudan, it's the most common thing. And it's not technical an issue with the couples alone, but in most cases, in our traditional setup, marriages is a family arrangement based on the person that can give us what we want. So sometimes even these two people have no say in what is happening. You're arranged to marry each other. So that trend started from there, and then it came to the dowry thing, where fathers and families now want a man who has more money, and then girls are obsessed because you want to be the best daughter in the house. You need
the one
to bring
who brought
in
the most money.
Yes, the one who brings in the richest in-law.
Uh-huh.
So these are all the driving factors. So our parents, our brothers, our communities, our families should just nurture us to tell us that get a good man. Do not, we are okay. Just get a good man. It's not a competition in the house, but our families
so
have
created. So it should be centered around the marriage, not what the marriage brings.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Again, discussions for the future. Isaac, I hope your question was answered. Let's take our last caller. Good morning.
Let's get in. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Emmanuel from Yambio.
Yes, Emmanuel from Yambio. Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, I just have one question that I want to ask our guest, Mrs. Victoria, with. And the question is, especially when you're dating, it's very difficult for you to know that this person, what he or she is saying is true. And then you can start well. Maybe you are not having a job, but at the end, when she got a job, and then it's very difficult for her to tell that, please, my husband, I am earning this. Or it will be difficult for him also. Say that my wife, I am earning this. So now in that scenario, during dating, how will you identify really this person really loves me, not because of money?
Okay.
That's my question.
Thank you very much. So case scenario, you don't know this person well. How do you know they are telling the truth before you get married? And then you end up getting married and this person is not telling the truth about how much they earn. Like, mushkila figurush idagewi. So how can you discover it?
Yeah, so any relationship that is built on lies ends in disaster. This is one thing that you should know. And believe me or not, you will definitely know if a person is lying to you when you're dating. That is a fact. We know it. Just that we do not want to accept it because we love the person. Or sometimes we feel like we pay a blind eye to this, that this will probably change. Now, how do you know a person is lying to you? The easiest way a person is lying to you is their words do not match their actions. Like, this is a very common scenario. The person's words does. If I ask you, how much are you earning? Honestly, how much are you earning? And you tell me something, but your lifestyle
is different.
Is different.
Okay.
To what you're earning. And the moment you feel that you feel that you're not satisfied with this response, it's important to dig deeper. It's very important. I demand to see your contract. I have to know. Like, there's nothing stopping you from asking, from following up. The moment you know that it's not okay, you need to dig deeper and find, I need to see your contract, or I need to know where you're working. It's okay, get to know where he's working, talk to his friends, one or two, find out how this is not about your relationship, but about his workspace. So like, get to know. The moment you feel not satisfied, dig deeper. But I've been in that space before where you do not want to dig deeper because you're so in love with this person. Somebody gives you a red flag, but you believe it's out of jealousy. and you're still in a dating space, you believe these people are telling you false information because they particularly want your relationship to fail. And this is what your partner will tell you. Do not listen to them. Believe me, at the relationship stage, it's important to do a background check. Because once you're married, there is no longer background check. There is no longer listening to third parties.
It is a real ground check.
It's now here. You don't have, there is no need to.
It's at the foreground.
Yeah. So, and the moment a person gets work, like I said, bring your contract out. What is stopping you from showing me your contract? I just want to know how much you're earning. So
and
that
what
we
it
can
is you do. Yeah.
What it is you do. And we plan together. What if you're a kidnapper or something? What if you're into crime? I need to know the legitimate work you're doing. Yeah.
All right. Our time is spent already. We'll definitely have more of these conversations. I can see more and more of your questions, but we are time bad today. So, yeah, we have more Saturdays to come. Pony Victoria, thank you so much for coming. What would you like to say before you leave?
One thing I would like to say before I leave about the money issue is that, like I started before, it's very important for us to make money, and it's very important for every partner to ensure that they are working. And in our context here, most families depend on one person. In most cases, it's the husband earning and the wife handles the management and family situations or this and that. But believe me, no situation is permanent. And no matter how much you earn, at one point you get tired. And even you who is not earning, at one point you feel less, like you feel
you're not contributing much.
Not even, yeah, like you lose self-esteem. So if one person is earning better than the other, provide and support the other person. Like try to do your best to ensure that you let the other person start something. Give them startup income and startup capital. Start something small for them and let them, like especially the men who are earning and your wife is not educated. So that is it. Just try to build one another up and try to support one another, and in the end of the day, ensure that you are not in for the money, but you're in to make the money together.
All right. Thank you very, very much, and have a wonderful day and wonderful weekend, Victoria.
Thank you, too.